I'm Fraser T. Smith, a music artist, record producer, musician and songwriter, and I've made an album called 12 Questions under the name Future Utopia. Each track on the record poses a deep philosophical question, and I've invited some of the sharpest minds in popular culture to answer these questions in order to help me and others navigate living in the modern world. In this episode, I'm excited to be joined by two unique artists who in 2021 are poised to make a huge dent into the musical landscape with the release of their debut albums, singer-songwriter Joy Crooks and rapper Avelino. Joy Crooks, Avelino. I'm really excited about this because sometimes the people on the podcast I don't know, so you're meeting them for the first time, but I had the absolute pleasure of spending the best time for me is the time in the studio. So if I get to meet anyone in the studio and get the privilege of working with them as I've worked with you both, then that for me is like a solid relationship, because we probably only met like a handful of days, but I think when you're writing songs together you really get to know each other. Do you feel that, like when you can meet people loads and loads of times but it can be a surface thing, but we've written great songs together? And the exciting thing is that I think you're both on the cusp of getting so big that I've got a feeling in about 6 months, when some big records drop, I'm going to be texting you congratulations. And you know, you don't hear the response, or you don't see the response from the phones, and then you text again and there's nothing, and then you try and make a call to the management and then they get through and they say, sorry, who is this calling? It's Fraser. Fraser who?
Like, no, I don't know. We'll never change up on the homies, man.
Joy's in New York at the minute. Abs flying around the world. And you know what? That moment where I see you both as absolute global superstars is just around the corner. And I feel, do you both feel that burn, that feeling that you're on the precipice of absolute greatness? Because I feel like you're...
I feel like the only burn I feel is when I run out of gluten tablets.
Gluten.
I'm intolerant to gluten. I feel like the fear for me is running out of those tablets. That's kind of the perspective I'm at right now in life.
Can I tell you about fear?
Go ahead.
This is weird, but I think this will make you laugh. So you know we live in the country, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I played a game of tennis last night with some friends, and I was driving back along this lane. And I don't know why, but I saw loads of deer running around. Mm. So I always think I've got to drive really slowly. So then this deer became detached from the, what's a group of deer called? It's not a flock.
Deirdre.
Oh, is it? Is it actually?
Deirdre.
Well, I didn't know that.
It's obviously not Deirdre.
Oh, I ain't got a clue in it. I'm just like, yo.
Neither do I, but the girl can wonder.
It ain't our true paradox.
So anyway, I'm driving down this lane, and this one lane, it's very, very, like it's a single car lane. You know how it is around where we live. Mm-hmm. And this deer was just running. I wasn't chasing it by any means. I was doing like 5 miles an hour, but it was running. Then usually if you see a deer, it'll just dart into the field somewhere, but it couldn't because of the fencing. Okay. So then we reached this point where I stopped and it stopped. And I was thinking, well, this is kind of cute, because I was feeling that it was a Bambi style kind of thing. But then it tried to get through and I could tell it was getting a bit scared. And then it turned round and ran headlong into my car. Now, that probably doesn't sound that scary, but if you've got this deer with its head, I thought it was going to smash the windscreen. And I'm still suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. No, because I took the video of it. I'll send it to both of you. And it was like, it's all cool.
And you took the video of it running towards you.
I took the video of me chasing it. I was like, I'll show Sarah when I get home and this is all cute. And it's like Bambi. And then it stopped and reared back, like face to face with me. And the video was like, oh. Like it was like something on a video game.
That's a madness.
It was a madness. Yeah. So I don't know how we got onto that, but.
I mean, see what the deer just done there. That's how you have to deal with fear. You got to take it on head on.
Maybe that was the lesson from that. 100%. Maybe it was like the universe.
Nah, definitely, man. 100%. There's always a lesson.
Okay. Okay, 100%. I like that. It's typical Avelino. You're taking the Buddha style.
Yeah, Buddha style thing. Man, 100%, man.
How are you feeling though, other than the gluten and nicotine lack, Joy?
I feel great. I feel the best I've felt in a really, really long time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because you're close to completion on the record?
No, I finished my album.
It's done.
I finished it on Sunday.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, mastered. Mastered?
I
attended all the sessions. I attended mastering. I couldn't attend mixing because that was isolated. But yeah, I attended all the sessions. And then I attended the mastering session this weekend in Hastings. And I came back to London, drove back to London on Sunday night.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a fantastic feeling.
Done.
Well, I've had this like, so when we're mastering... for people that don't know what mastering is like, you listen and then you write notes and you say, you know, maybe I need more high shelf in this song and we need a bit more silver in this song, or the bass isn't sticking out enough in this, because it all kind of ends up having to be level. So you have to listen to the whole project from top to end. Every time you make any notes, you listen to it from top to end. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to listen to the song separately. And that's how you get the kind of consistent sound. And then... So I had to listen to the album this weekend, obviously, many, many times from top to end. And the second to last time I listened to it in the mastering session, I just had this, I don't know, just like the spirit was moving. And I know that sounds like really pretentious, but Nina Simone used to shout at her musicians until the spirit started moving. And then when the spirit was moving, she was like, the spirit's moving. And you can feel it. It's like something just, it feels different. And something felt different. And when I'd ended that kind of listening session, I took myself outside and I got on the floor and I just started crying in a way that I don't think I've ever kind of cried before. Like the feeling of relief, but not relief from work, but relief from all the no's, all the no men, all the self-doubt that I inflicted upon myself, all of the trauma, depression, everything that went into making the album, and you know, not the production wise of the album, but the actual content and the songs and the pain and the joy in the album had all been worth it and come together. And I very much connected with the inner child in myself for the first time in a really long time, in a way that I never have before. And I felt pride in the most genuine, authentic way in my whole life. That didn't need to be documented. That didn't need to be up on Instagram. It was a moment with myself and it felt like the biggest hug I'd ever given myself. And I was a mess. I was an absolute wreck. Every little inch of makeup I had was gone, but it was a very special moment in my life, that moment in the garden in Hastings. And because of that moment, I feel very present and I feel like it's so easy to think about, so what's next? And I wonder how people are going to receive it, but that's not what it's about for me. I mean, like sitting and listening to it was just incredible. It was just incredible for me. Because I'm so happy, that is all that matters, in my opinion. I don't want to base my success on what other people think.
Mm-hmm. I hear that in your voice. I see it in your eyes.
I'm so 100%.
They are genuine right now. 100%.
I feel like a weight has been lifted off you.
Yeah, that's literally how it feels. And it feels like as much as hard times will come, regardless of whether that's work-wise or personal life-wise, it feels like because I have fought so much to get to this point here, that whatever comes next will be... You know, someone said to me this morning, they said it's easier when you're lost in the woods to find a cabin if you've already found it before. Otherwise, you're searching for something you don't know where is, right?
Mm.
But now I know where the cabin is. So even when I get lost, I know that I found it before, so I'll find it again. Mm. And I mean that in every aspect. I mean that when I think I'm not going to be able to get the material for the second album. I mean that when I think, oh my gosh, this breakup is going to kill me, or this is going to kill me, or this situation in my life and this trauma is going to end me. It's like, nah, because I've done this. I've done this album, which not only took career issues, it took so many life problems. It means that I could do it all again.
Wow, amen. That's powerful.
That's how I feel.
That's powerful.
That's how I feel.
That's real stuff.
Man. I'm so pleased for you.
That's beautiful stuff you're saying.
I'm so pleased for me.
We were talking and, you know, you have that anxiety at the point where you're, and you have like creative pregnancy, don't you? Where you need to get this out. You need to get this finished. And I could sense it within you that you have that. But what's so great about hearing you speak and then also in anticipation of, I mean, I've not heard your record, but I know you and I know what the quality of this is going to be, that I think what you've said is just going to be some seminal words. Because when people hear this record and connect fully with your songs and with your lyrics and your sentiment and your emotion, the words that you just said, Joy, are going to ring very, very strongly.
That was magical still.
I bet you both know the feeling.
We do know.
I don't think I was explaining it to you both. I think you both know the feeling and that feeling of completion. And I'm at a really beginner point of my career, just the first album. And trying to put it into words for people that have never experienced that. I hope I tried my best to do it justice.
No, you really did. And it whets my appetite even more to need to hear this record. And let's be fair, all three of us, we vary in age.
Do we?
Me being...
Fraser being 24.
Slightly, yeah. Just a few years older than you two. But what brings us together is that we're all debut album guys, you know? So, Av, talking of debut albums, this is highly anticipated. I love, like, you put some pressure on yourself here.
Yeah, I think, you know...
You have that confidence.
Do you know what it is? I feel like some of the stuff that kind of... can affect you negatively, adds to my confidence. Like, for example, a feeling as simple as self-doubt is a really good thing for me. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I find self-doubt to be a really positive thing. Why do I find it to be such a positive thing? Because I always think to myself, whenever I have any sense of any sort of self-doubt about anything, you know, the beautiful thing about it is that it's an indication that you care. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So, like, what do I mean by that? If I didn't feel anything, if I felt indifferent towards ideas or projects or moves I'm going to make, then, you know, I probably don't care enough to do it. But, you know, that self-doubt is a really positive feeling because, you know, we all know the opposite of love isn't hate, but indifference, do you get what I'm trying to say? So, yeah. So, you know, I believe that's what fuels my positive energy, confidence, you know, and power. It's just all those negative things making positives for me, you know?
Mm.
Flipping the script on a daily basis.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I really get from both of you in our time in the studio that you're, you know, when people say soul, I think it can be misconstrued in a way, but you are both very soulful people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I take away from meeting you. You know, you're really connected.
Yeah, 100%.
And you really channel.
I mean, you know, it's just got... You just got to let your heart guide you, you get what I'm trying to say? And that's what we do, man. You know what I mean? Like, we're lucky enough to be creatives. I think we've got a lot of similarities with people, like, I don't know, like, in business. And we're visionaries, innit, you know? And I think what you said makes sense to me because I'm like, you're saying we're guided by the soul. And I'm just like, we all have a vision of futures and what we've got to do and our projects. And, you know, and I always say, like, to see is just what your eyes do. But vision is something your heart does, you get what I'm trying to say? So when we're in the studio... This is where it really manifests you for me.
And you know, when I know when I'm working with very connected, soulful artists, because I get to the end and I listen to the music and I think, I'm really not sure where that came from.
Yeah. It's true still.
Right, Joy? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Different chords that I played before, that I've never played before, different. It just felt like something that wasn't almost not our own.
It's not our own.
It just, we were just jamming and it, we were just open.
We're just vessels, guys. We're just vessels, I think.
We were vessels.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think that's what it comes down to, definitely.
I think everything that's created is already there. We just got to bring it to life, you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, we go studio, there's nothing there. And we, like, make, I don't know, we have inspiration and it becomes sound. And we make a living off it. It's magic.
And this is magic. Really magic, some of that brandy away as well.
Yeah.
Your manager magics some of that special brandy away as well. 1 minute it was there, the next minute it was gone.
Next minute it was gone, and you know,
good half a bottle.
Next minute it was gone, and next minute, you know, we was grateful that, you know, we went back in a cab because, you know,
I'll tell you what, if there's one person that can drink tequila, Av, then it's you.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone drink. I mean, at one point I thought there must be lemonade in there. It was this clear liquid in there with some ice.
Yeah.
You're drinking tequila like it's water.
I'm drinking tequila like it's the healer.
The healer?
Yeah. Bro.
How do you do that? I was trying to keep up. I thought, look, someone needs to steer the ship here. I'm on the protein.
I don't know if it's a good thing, man. Do you get me? Like, the tolerance is high.
You're a big guy.
I'm a big guy.
How tall are you?
About 6'4". 6'4", 6'5", maybe. 6'5", probably. 6'5".
You're a tall guy, but you're a big guy. Yeah. I mean, you're lean and you're cut. Yeah. You are a big...
I wasn't always lean and cut, bro. You get me? This is new stuff, man. I'm new to this.
No, but I'm saying that your bone structure doesn't change. 100%. You're a big guy.
Yeah.
You know, you're strong.
Yeah, loads of tequila.
And I mean, you put that tequila away like no one I've ever seen.
Bro, I don't know. I don't think that's a good thing, though.
No, it's not a bit. It's not as good as it's not bad.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just comes with the space, the studio space, man.
Yeah.
Tequila the healer.
I remember feeling very loose.
Yeah, 100%, man. You can handle your fair share, man. You feel me?
Oh, really?
Yeah. But you remember,
were you keeping an eye on it?
Nah, not really, but I don't know. Maybe the tequila is making me think everyone's with me and I was just getting off on... Yeah.
No, I was trying to keep up with you, but to be fair, I think if I was on exactly that same thing, then the Pro Tools would have been... A bit more wonky than it needed to be.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Great times.
Yeah, great, amazing times, man. The best times.
I want to see how many questions we can ask. I feel like the rules of the 12 questions game are we're going to go alternately through the questions,
mm-hmm.
but you can chip in at any point. Don't feel any pressure that you have to be
sure, I don't feel
like
pressure.
Rumi, the Sufi poet, when you're answering these questions, because... Mm-hmm. I've got a feeling from that grin, Joy, that you're going to have some quick one-word answers to these questions. Anyway, don't feel the pressure. No question is right. No question is wrong. Joy Crooks, fear or faith?
Fear or faith?
Yeah.
Faith.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate or not?
Oh, like...
Well, you can, or you don't have to.
Fuck fear.
I wasn't saying that in a funny way.
Fear or faith? How are you putting them two together? That's like saying get punched in the face or get a hug.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
What, being...
And the punch in the face can be as helpful.
Yeah.
Might make you stronger.
Mm. Or it might break your teeth, like I have quite a few broken teeth.
Which still can make you more resilient.
No, it makes me more afraid. It makes me more afraid to be on a mic from how many times I've knocked my fake teeth out.
Oh, you've done it on the mic?
No, I knocked it out a different way, but I've knocked it out many times after.
Is it many times?
Yeah, 6 times after. It's half,
Jesus.
Half my front teeth, yeah. It's not the end of the world. It just looks really bun.
Yeah, it just sounds painful, though. You get me?
It was painful to my soul, not actually to my nervous system.
Nah, fair enough.
We don't have to elaborate, even.
Yeah, I think that's it.
You don't have to qualify it. Yeah, keep it simple. Av. And I love the way that Av, that throughout this whole episode, you're turning the negatives into positives, which is a state of mind.
Yeah.
Av, how much is enough?
Nah, there's no such thing to me, man.
No? Infinity? Nah. Infinite?
Yeah, we're part of the universe. It revolves forever. That doesn't resonate with me.
Okay. Joy. Do we really care?
No.
No.
Nah, we don't. Not this world, anyway. I mean, that's like it's a Marvin Gaye lyric. Like, no, the world doesn't. If Marvin Gaye's music still applies now, the world doesn't care. That's what I'm going to say.
Joy's like an oracle.
And what's an oracle? Is that like a burning...
Nah, like, just wise, isn't it?
Oh.
Speak from the spirit.
Thank you very much. No, we don't really care. That's just the truth.
Av.
Fraser.
What's in a name?
What's in a name?
I don't even know what that means.
I think maybe, you know, I don't know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, Joy's name gives me good vibes, just because her name's Joy. And I think that's a nice thing to have, and your name carries that.
Mm.
So it's a nice responsibility to be able to name another human being, give them something that can kind of, you know, maybe manifest in their life again.
That's what I think when I hear Avelino as well.
Yeah, I think it means like powerful and complete or something like that.
Does it?
Yeah, I think so.
Joy, why are we divided when we're so connected?
I don't know. It sounds like a beginning of a South London chat up line.
Mm.
That sounds like...
Anyone ever said that to you?
I've had everything been said. South London men are capable of making a narrative from from one shoe hitting the floor. Like, yeah. Why are we so divided when we're so connected?
Hmm.
I don't know. Gluten intolerance.
Wow. I guess that divides people. Gluten eaters, lactose, vegetarians.
Yeah.
Pescatarians, vegans. Are you gluten intolerant or, hang on, is it celiac that...
Yeah, I'm gluten intolerant.
Which a lot of people are, isn't it?
Yeah, because of the, just because of the rise in, like, processing gluten. It used to just be, like, harvest, but it's obviously all processed now and it just created resistance.
I was with James Blake the other day. He was giving me a gluten lesson, all this stuff you're saying.
Mad. Yeah, he taught me about panic attacks, which I've had before, but he taught me about a really good therapy.
Seems like you're just going around teaching everyone everything, innit?
Av,
yeah.
How do we find our truth?
How do we find our truth? I think for me, by embracing reality, man.
Mm.
For me, by embracing reality, reality is truth, man. Truth is like that statement you said in the last one, why are we divided when we're so connected, you get what I'm trying to say? Why is it? It's the same reason why there's the nighttime and the daytime. Same reason why there's good and bad. Same reason why opposites attract. Everything is two.
Yeah, you got a point.
Mm. Mm. It's like, yeah, embracing reality, man. Reality is harsh. Nothing more harsh than reality, I'll tell you that, man.
But I think by facing it is a great thing.
Yeah, embracing it, man.
I think it's great to be pointing forward and to be on that positive side. Mm. That's what you want to do. I mean, personally, I do. But I think it's also great to take a look in the, well, in the mirror, the rearview mirror, and look behind and to face the truths.
You face the truth, man. Like you said, like the rearview as well, man. You get what I'm trying to say? It's all good for focusing on the positives and that, but you got to turn and face the negatives. You get what I'm trying to say? You got to face them as well and take them head on.
Yeah.
Because life ain't always rosy, bro. We don't want rosy. Without pain, how you getting stronger? Without, you know... I've got to find lessons in the defeats, like, you know what I mean?
And I read something earlier that was saying that there aren't... A problem is only a problem because you've interpreted it as a problem. It's actually a situation and you've, in effect, made it into a problem because you've interpreted a situation as something else.
Yeah.
That's just a word that you put on it and then that brings out certain emotions.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like... I think the funny thing with problems is, like, even in that business, like, the employer is usually the guy that finds a solution for a problem, you get me? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, one day, you know, someone figured out we need, like, I don't know, our feet were getting cut or bruised or damaged by, I don't know, where we're walking, and someone came up with a shoe. And he's rich. That's just a silly example, but, you know? I heard, like, in Mandarin or something, the character for Problem or Crisis, it's like the same character or something to do with like new beginning or opportunity. And when I look at like Chinese culture and around the world, it makes sense.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You go around the world where there's crisis or problems, you see...
Solutions.
Really, yes. Just coming up with solutions and you know, doing these things naturally. You get me? Mm.
Joy, what's the cost of freedom?
Sacrifice.
Oh, that was so beautiful.
Your answers are like, darts.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, real.
They are.
Real.
No, because it's so sharp that you just throw in that dart, it goes into the bullseye and you don't feel the need to qualify it. You just got it like that.
I mean, you're quick firing them at me. I need to just come with the same energy.
I love that one there. Sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always sacrifice, isn't there?
Why does I have to let that? I have to let your answer sink in for a sec.
It's one of my lyrics.
I beg you, share that with us, please.
I just no. It's just freedom don't come for free. I guess it cost you and me. But it was obviously like a relationship, a breakup. But when I was getting asked about it in the press release, my like family were like freedom fighters in the Bangladesh War, which was 50 years ago. It was the Bangladesh war ended the same year that Marvin Gaye released What's Going On. So it gives you context to how it wasn't that long ago, and how a lot of the my Bangladeshi family are matriarchy because all the men were deaded off. All of like my relatives were shot in a field in front of my great grandmother, and like I've been to the field and I've been to the village and stuff where we're from, but you know, in order for us to be free as a country, and you know, 400,000 women were raped and thousands and thousands and thousands of men were killed. Freedom didn't come for free. It cost you and me. And I think that lyric applies as much as it does to me, as it does to my aunties who lost their husbands and lost, my grandma lost two of her brothers. You know, like my uncles, great uncles, my great uncle that decided to be a political leader, you know, like, freedom always costs something, and it's whether or not you're like up for sacrificing. So yeah, sacrifice, that's the answer. But I think anyone and everyone can relate to that in some kind of degree, you know.
And as much as the incredibly vivid image that you just gave us,
but
it's interesting that going back to the beginning of this podcast and you talking about or me thinking about the sacrifices that you would have had to have made to make this incredible body of work that you've made, but also the sacrifices that I've seen in the small amount of time that we've known you, where I remember you come into the studio once and you'd had like creative meetings and you had to fight for creative freedom to release the record that you wanted to release. Not that your label were telling you couldn't, because obviously it's got to the point where it's been mastered and that's all good, but the sacrifices at every stage of everyone's career.
For sure.
And maybe that emotion that you felt when you were in the garden in Hastings was a release.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that was you felt the freedom at that point. Mm-hmm. Because this is going to be shortly, like, this record is not going to be even your own. It's going to be
everyone else's.
The property of the public.
Yeah, exactly. You just need to make sure she's raised well, fed, watered. And then,
well, she has been.
She can go find a boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever she wants to find.
Av, is it too late to save the planet?
Listen, I might be mad, bro. Fraser OG Smith. I didn't even call you Fraser T. Smith. I might be a madman, bro. Because I said this to my brethren the other day. Maybe I'm not educated in the area of what's going on or whatnot. But when I hear save the planet, I'm like, yo, wait a minute. The planet ain't going nowhere, bro. The planet. If we're damaging the planet and affecting the planet, we're just damaging it to a point where we won't be able to live on it.
Yes.
The planet's cool.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the save the planet thing.
Yeah.
So that's why.
And on the album, Av, Katrin Friedrich is a really good friend of mine.
Yeah.
I asked her that question, and she's on the album, and it was like, to paraphrase, it's the planet can survive just okay without us.
Yeah, the planet's
like,
cool,
don't worry. Like, if we all evacuate and we just go to Mars, or we all perish.
Yeah.
The trees will still be growing.
Yeah, and I feel like
slightly better than they are growing at the minute. Like, the planet is putting up with us. It's suffering us.
Yeah, bro, and I feel like that idea, that concept of that question, just comes from our egos, our crazy egos as human beings, that we think we're saving the planet. This planet is cool, bro.
Yeah.
The planet is cool.
We need to save ourselves, right?
Yeah, what we're doing, if we're addressing climate, all this stuff, is we're just sorting things out so that we can survive on it. The planet is fine without us, bro. It's calm. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I thought one of the best things about lockdown was the lack of planes and just the night sky and the reports that the centre of London, like, the air quality was the same as being 30 miles outside of London and all these kind of statistics. You just felt that, like, the planet was getting a chance to breathe, and all we were doing was not doing as much.
All we were doing was
just not going to the airport for a meeting for the day and flying back, because we felt that, like, our importance would be raised because we had to sign that deal in Switzerland or wherever we were going, you know, that. And I think all we did was just pull back. So
yeah, man, 100%. Like, that save the planet thing, I literally said to my mate the other day, I was like, am I going crazy, or is this making sense, or the stuff that I just said? Just like, I feel like it comes from thought, yeah, as mad as it sounds, I think that thought comes from the same place in ourselves, which can make you think that you're a bit like, which can put you above someone else because of colour, religion, whatever. It's that same part of your mind that actually goes, you know, we need to save the planet. Bro, the planet is cool, bro. Get out of, like, the world don't revolve around you, bro. There's 10 million species, bro. You get what I'm trying to say? We're one of 7-8 billion, which is one of however million million species, bro. Like, the planet's cool, bro. You know what I mean?
Joy, what happens next?
Whatever you decide.
You're the hardest. Joy is too... She's serious.
No, but it's true. It's like, we're on Zoom, so...
Prolific.
Whatever you decide to do next is what happens. Like,
you're too prolific.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't think that was...
People could take these answers as flippant.
What do you mean?
Well, because you're so quick to... I come with a question, you come with a volley back at the net. Yeah. And you could say, well, wow, okay, but if you step back, that's a perfect answer to the question.
Yeah, 100%.
Usually it's hard to find to do these 12 questions in the time, but in this is like snappy episode.
I just waffled on.
Av. In your opinion, do we believe in nature or nurture?
We, as a whole, in general, I would possibly say nurture. I think we should believe in both equally, but I think more towards the nurture side. Because if that was the case, then we wouldn't be saying stuff like save the planet.
Nurture is powerful.
Yeah.
I like nurture as well because I have some friends that like are fatalists, and I feel like there's a sort of slight apathy to that, in that whatever will be, and like, you can't change things. And very much about like fully talking about DNA and your genes. But I think if you believe in the nature side, then it gives you possibility. And possibility is infinite.
And you know, everything is infinite. We're just, well, we just like a load of matter and energy that never disappears. Mm. So why not?
Joy, what matters most?
Love.
Joy is lovely. No, but one day I want to be like you.
No, but it's true. And I don't mean love as in like romantic love. I just mean like love in general. I think love is so important.
I feel like love is the answer.
Yeah, you could say that. It's cheesy, but it's what, you know, without love, love provides empathy, love provides passion, love provides drive, love provides ambition, love provides the need for change. You know, it just like, it's a fantastic fuel for kind of like anything positive, I think, when you do things out of love, because love doesn't necessarily involve ego. It actually... The biggest act of love is not thinking about yourself, you know? Probably love.
No, you're a real one still.
It's
the truth. That segues into the last question, Av, which is, what is love? I feel like joy is...
For me, love is what connects everything and everyone. And like she just described, like, oh, you know, it being detached or away from the ego where you're thinking about yourself. That's why I always think of love as like what connects everything and everyone, because, you know, when you do like things that are love is for others, love is, I think it's the thing that connects the world, bro. Whether it's through acts of kindness, whether it's through empathy, whether it's through whatever it may be. Whereas like, you know, being more ego-driven or self-centered is probably, you know, it's the antithesis. Which is also important, in my opinion, to be honest. So I have the balance.
It's interesting just to see your lovely cat there, Joy.
He's here. His name's Diego.
Diego?
Diego.
Yeah, I call him Diego.
But you know, just talking about love, like, you've got Diego, we've got three dogs that you've met. I think, like, nature, animals, like, with an animal, an innocent, like, baby, where, like, the emotions are unconditional. There's no conditions to it. It's just like when you pick up your cat.
Yeah.
The cat might be thinking, well, it is actually my dinner time now.
Joy, he is thinking
you
that.
You may be doing a podcast, but when are you getting the Sheba into the into the bowl? Because...
Iams.
The Iams. But then still, when the Iams have gone into the bowl and Diego's had his dinner, he'll be coming back and he'll be like, well... And you're thinking, that's unconditional.
Yeah. And it is.
Look, love is unconditional, isn't it? Or love should be unconditional.
I think the only time it becomes conditional is when there are like when ego plays up, and the sometimes the issue with, take family for example, and why family's so complicated is because the love is so comfortable that you feel, well, you know that you can take the piss with these people because you're inevitably related to them, or your love is so unconditional, or so, or sometimes very conditional, that it doesn't matter if you play up, because you know at the end of the day it is all love. And it's really easy to say that, but that's when people start to take the piss, because they abuse love and they abuse their power in that love. So it's complicated. It's very, very complicated. There's so many different kinds of love, and there's so many different factors that come to play when it does become conditional, and when ego and pride and manipulation and these kinds of things happen and make their mark, you know?
I completely agree. I completely agree. We did it. 12 questions. Answered.
We made it happen, man. We made it happen.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for having me on as well, man.
Thank you for coming on. And when I look back over my year, the older that I get, well, I've always done this, but the older that I get, the way I characterize a great year or a good year is about the relationships that I've made and the people that I've met. And you two are two of my dearest
my guy.
New friends.
Fraser, I mean that. OG Smith.
No, but for you to come to the studio and to create and to come on the podcast and just to feel that I know you both is powerful. I respect you both as musicians, but as people, and getting to know you is a greater gift actually than the music. So
right back at you, bro. 100%, bro.
Honestly,
thank you. That's very
it's nice to meet you, Joy, as well. Nice
lovely
to meet,
to meet you too.
I can't wait for you both to drop your records, and for the world to enjoy your music as I've been enjoying it over the past few years. But you know, when it comes to album time, that's a serious time. So best of luck with that, and don't go changing your numbers.
No, it's not really my vibe.
You know, usually when we're recording the podcast, the biggest challenge is making sure that we hit all the answers to the 12 questions within the hour. The questions are so wide and open that you could, as was the case in the episode with Brian Eno and Es Devlin, spend the whole hour speaking about one question, and that's fine. I always say to our guests that there's no right or wrong answer and no right or wrong way to answer these questions. So it's actually a breath of fresh air to hear these answers being given in such a succinct way, as it proves that the questions and answers can really be interpreted in a wide variety of styles. I'm sure it came across in this episode, but I'm a huge fan of Av and Joy as people as well as artists, and I urge you all to check out their existing music and forthcoming debut albums, which are going to be incredible. And I'm also going to shamelessly give myself a plug and say, if you haven't heard it already, check out 12 Questions by me, Fraser T. Smith, aka Future Utopia, available on all the major streaming services. And don't forget to subscribe and like this podcast. Also, ask yourself the 12 questions, ask other people the 12 questions. I put this record out to stir debate and hopefully create change. So why don't you send us your answers to the 12 questions on Instagram and Twitter at The Future Utopia. Last but not least, a massive shout out to Becky Voice at the Tape Agency, my management crew, Phil, Kate, Jasmine and Josh at 360 for helping make this podcast happen. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time. And until then, let's make the future a utopia. Yeah.